Okay, Gurmaj, shall I just let the audience know regarding Mayapur TV, or would you do that?
Okay,
Yeah, okay.
you can tell them, yeah.
Sure, okay. Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to the teleconference on Srimad Bhagavatam to cover chapter 5 of the first canto. Today, Guru Maharaj is in Ujjain, and he will also be broadcasting. We will also be broadcasting a video of this class on Ujjain on Mayapur TV. So you can go to www.mayapurtv.tv. That's mayapur.tv, and click on channel 12 for Ujjain, and you should be able to see a broadcast there. Okay. So Guru Maharaj, over to you.
Yeah. Hi Krishna, how is everybody?
Right now they're on mute, Guru Maharaj. The audience,
No,
if you'd
you can
like to,
unmute.
I
Yeah, we
can't
can
unmute.
address you.
I can't
Oh,
unmute
okay,
all of the
that's
lines.
fine.
So I
That's
can just say that if anyone
okay.
wants to
So,
respond, they can dial star six.
did everybody read the chapter beforehand to be in tune with the class? So today we're going to do the fifth chapter. And did you all go through the fourth chapter that I discussed last week? And in the so today we are going into the fifth chapter. The idea is to do one chapter a day, and one chapter a day or one chapter a week, because once a week only I come to this conference. That's on Saturday, and I'm very happy to be here with you all. And as Atma Prabhu mentioned, that we all are in, actually we are in Mayapur now. I'm sorry, we are in Ujjain now. And here we have this Mayapur TV connection. And so it's also being broadcasted in Mayapur TV. And in this room also there must be about what? Almost 150 devotees? Maybe 150 devotees. And it's also being translated into Hindi. Okay, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in the fourth chapter, we got Vasudev was feeling despondent. He was feeling dissatisfaction in his heart in spite of doing so much work. He divided the Vedas and then he wrote Upanishads and Purans, Itihash as Mahabharata, and then finally he gave the Vedanta Sutra. But still he was feeling dissatisfied in his heart, as if the work hasn't been properly done, or the work hasn't been properly completed. So Narad Muni then appeared when Vasudev was in Samaprash, in on the bank of the river Saraswati. And so Narad Muni, seeing Narad Muni, Vasudev showed him respect, offering obeisances. And then Narad Muni actually asked him that whether he has been satisfied by identifying himself with the body and mind as the object of self-realization. Because Narad Muni pointed out to Vasudev, this is what he is telling in this chapter, that all that you have done, you have not really gone to the spiritual topic directly. It was all you have described about the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. This dharma, artha, kama, moksha, this chaturvarga are actually pertaining to the mind and the body. So he's asking here that are you satisfied identifying body and mind as the object of self-realization? Is that the goal of life? And then Vasudev sincerely asked him to help him. So this is the process. Krishna bhakti is the goal of life, and Krishna bhakti is achieved only by the mercy of a devotee. Even Vasudev did not have, like, he studied all the Vedas. Not only studied the Vedas, he actually systematically presented the Vedas. And after presenting the Vedas, he gave the Vedanta Sutra, the sum and substance of the Vedic knowledge. So we can see that Vasudev had the perfect understanding of the Vedas, but still his heart was not satisfied. So heart can be satisfied only by receiving pure devotional service to Krishna. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi kami, shakuli, ashanto. Those who are trying to enjoy material nature through karma, yoga, those who are trying to become liberated by performing Jnana Yoga, and those who are trying to achieve Yoga Siddhi by performing Ashtanga Yoga, they all are perturbed in their heart, or they are not really satisfied in their heart. The only thing that can satisfy a soul completely is by pure devotional service to the Lord. So in this way, we are seeing that although these activities may go on in the name of religious activities, although these activities can go on in the name of spiritual activities, dharma, artha, kam, like which means karma yoga, jnana yoga, and even liberation. One can become liberation, but through jnana, one receives the sajujya mukti. That mukti is not real mukti. The sajujya mukti is a negative liberation. And in that state also, one cannot be fully satisfied. Although there is, in sajujya mukti, there is brahmananda, some kind of ananda is there, but the real joy that completely satisfies the heart is not possible to get. It can be achieved only through the performance of pure devotional service. And here we are seeing the process of receiving pure devotional service. The process of receiving pure devotional service is Guru Kripa. Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. By the mercy of Guru and by the mercy of Krishna, one receives the seed of devotional service, Bhakti Lata. And then this Bhakti Lata Beej, by receiving the process of devotional service, actually leads to the proper cultivation of bhakti, which has 9 limbs. Nabodha bhakti. There are 9 kinds of activities. What are those 9 kinds of activities? Shravanam, kirtanam. So when one gets the bhakti, then when one comes to the platform of bhakti, then he must do the shravanam. Hear from a saintly personality. And Narad Muni pointed out, now he told his own life story. Narad Muni here is telling his own life story, that how he got bhakti. We are here seeing how Vasudev is receiving bhakti. How did Vasudev receive bhakti? By the mercy of Narad Muni. How did Narad Muni come there? By the arrangement of Krishna. It is by the arrangement of Krishna that one gets a bona fide spiritual master. And it is only through the bona fide spiritual master that one can receive bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now Narad Muni is telling about his own life story. how he got bhakti. Narad Muni in his previous life was the son of a maid servant. He was actually a Sudra. By birth, in that birth, Narad Muni was a Sudra, the son of a maid servant. But this maid servant was engaged in the service of the great personalities, the Bhaktivedantas. Bhaktivedantas means those who know the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas. The ultimate conclusion of the Vedas, Veda, Anta, Vedasya, Anta. What is the Anta, what is the end of Vedas? Bhakti. So those who understood that, they are known as Bhaktivedantas. Those who understand that the ultimate culmination of the Vedic wisdom is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are Bhaktivedantas. Like Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Narad Muni came across such Bhaktivedantas in the previous life, when he was just a little boy. As a little boy, he came across these great saintly personalities. In Bhagavatam, they have been described as the Bhaktivedantas. In some Puranas, it has been described that they were actually the four Kumaras. Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. The four sons of Lord Brahma. So Narad Muni in his previous life came across these four Kumars. And Narad Muni also mentioned that as a child, he was very gentle. He did not have any attraction for frivolous sports or frivolous activities that children are generally engaged in. Narad Muni was not interested in that. He was very gentle. He was even soft-spoken, and he did not speak for more than it was necessary. So this is how we can see the quality of a recipient of bhakti. One has to become properly situated. Like those who are frivolous, they cannot understand the importance of bhakti. They want to become engaged in all kinds of mundane activities leading to sense gratification. A child, what does a child usually attracted to? The child is attracted to childish games and sports. They are naughty. The children are there naughty. Narad Muni is saying that as a child he was not naughty. So these are the qualities. He was not interested in frivolous activities. He was sense controlled, which was displayed by his tendency not to speak more for more than it is necessary, or unwanted mundane discussions he was not interested in. And on top of everything, he was very respectful. He was serving those saintly personalities with great respect. And these personalities, one day, Narad Muni, with their permission, he took their remnants, their prasad, after they have finished taking their prasad. Now we can understand that was the month of Chaturmas. As it is, the saintly people don't indulge in tasty food. Saintly people are not interested in tasty food. And at the time, sadhus are not interested into saintly, tasty food. And they were observing Chaturmas. That is, at the time of Chaturmas, one takes very simple food. Like food cooked, just boiled. No salt, no spice, no ghee or no oil. No frying. So just some boiled food or soaked food. And that also very, very simple. But Narad Muni was so respectful that he just wanted to have that food, that untasty, unpalatable food that thus they were, that were left over by those saintly personalities. Then they just told him, and by taking that prasad, Narad Muni, that is a child in his previous life, he became purified in the heart. He is describing what actually happened to him. Just by taking their prasad, he became free from sinful reactions. All his sinful reactions were eradicated by taking the remnants of the from the Bhakti Vedanta, remnants of the Bhakti Vedantas, these great, exalted, pure devotees of the Lord. And as a result of that, the influence of mortal passion and ignorance disappeared from his heart. Whatever little passion and ignorance there may have been in his heart disappeared just by taking their prasad. And what is the reaction? What is the outcome of passion and ignorance? What happens when one is influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance? Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayashche je cheto etair anabittham sthitam satye prasidati. When one becomes free from the influence of mode of passion, then what happens? He becomes free. Tada rajas tamo bhava. Raja means mode of passion and tamo means ignorance. So when one becomes free from the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance, then kama lobha dayashcha je cheto etair anabittham. Cheta means heart, consciousness. Then the consciousness becomes free from the influence of lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mad, matsari. These are the degrading factors. These things actually create the knots in the heart. These activities, the influence of the mode of passion creates the knots in the heart. Hridaya granthi. But when one becomes free from the influence of passion and ignorance, then the heart becomes free from that knot, because those knots are cut completely. Evang prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vidyanam mukta sangasya jayate. But how does it happen? Bhiddate hridaya granthi. Granthi means knot, hridaya. There are knots in the heart caused by lust, greed, anger, etc. This lust, greed, anger cause very, very strong knots in the heart. But when one becomes free from the influence of mode of passion and ignorance, then those knots are cut asunder. Completely cut too. So the heart becomes now free from those knots. Then what happens? Prasanna manaso. Heart becomes completely satisfied. And then only one becomes qualified to perform bhakti yoga. Evang prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah. One becomes qualified to practice bhakti yoga. And Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. By performing those Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, one becomes free from material attachments. So in this way, Narad Muni started to tell about his own life, that how he became involved in this spiritual life. And then Narad Muni is describing, as a result of that, He developed the taste for hearing. So the sign of attachment to Krishna consciousness is the taste for hearing. One develops a taste for hearing and chanting. So the first thing is Shravanam, hearing. If the heart is influenced by mode of passion, then what happens? We don't have the taste for hearing. We don't develop the taste for hearing. Yes, we develop the taste for hearing. What kind of things? Gramma katha. Filmy music. All the garbage that comes in newspapers and other magazines. Then they are very interested. Subha, utne ke baad hi kya karte hai? As they get up in the morning, they open the newspaper and fill their mind with all garbage. That is also one kind of hearing. These reporters, who are the garbage collectors, they put all the garbage in the newspapers. And they like to hear those garbage. Somebody was telling me the other day, I was actually discussing that sometimes in the newspaper so many such articles come, some damaging articles. And they say, don't worry about that. Because the newspapers don't write good news. They write about bad news. That's what their activity is. So don't worry about that. But Narad Muni developed the taste for hearing Krishna Katha. The hearing about the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is what Narad Muni was actually instructing Vyasadeva. That you have wrote so many things. Dharma, what is the purpose of dharma? Artha. Artha means wealth. Perform dharma in order to collect wealth. And when you get wealth, what do? Kaam. You fulfill your lusty desires. The fulfillment of lusty desires. Kaam. And then when you see that the lusty desires are not giving you the enjoyment that you want, you thought that there will be so much enjoyment through fulfilling your lusty desires. But at the end of the day, you see they didn't fulfill your desires, but they filled your heart with more suffering and more distresses. So that's why Narad Muni was pointing out that dharma, artha, kaam, and kaam is not really satisfying our heart, rather making the heart full of distress. So as a result of that, what do they want? They want to get out of the material nature, moksha. Oh, this material nature is a place of suffering. So let me get out of here. Moksha. But then when we come across a saintly personality, then what we do, as he is pointing out. You mentioned all the way up to moksha, but that is not going to satisfy their heart. You can see that even your heart is not satisfied. So what to speak of those who will listen or those who will read your writing? How will their heart be satisfied? So he is just presenting it in such a simple way. Therefore, get involved in bhakti yoga. And even that bhaktadbhag visharga janatadha biplava, this words about bhakti yoga will create a very nice atmosphere everywhere. It will create a revolution in the society. Janatadha biplava. Biplava means revolution. He'll create a revolution. What kind of revolution? Not French Revolution or Russian Revolution. It's a revolution of consciousness. revolution. Meaning the wheel is moving in one way, now you make it move in another way. So revolution in consciousness. From material attachment, people will now become interested in spiritual subject matter. Instead of running after money, people will run after Krishna. That is the revolution. Janata go biplava. Jasmin pratishloka. Every single verse that describes the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to cause a revolution. Revolution of consciousness. Now you all can consider what was your mentality before and what happened to you. Is there a change? Change of consciousness? Now you're not interested in those things that you're interested in. Now your interest is for your spiritual development. And as a result of that, what is happening? You are developing the taste for hearing. That's why you all have come, and that's why you all are listening to this class. You have so many other things that you could do, but you are not interested in doing those things. Now you have come here to listen. What are you listening? You are listening about the glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. Janata go biplava. Namani anantasya jasam kritani jat. The Lord's unlimited names are synonymous to His glorification. His names are synonymous to His qualities, His pastimes, His transcendental activities. And these are jasam kritani jat. Expands the glory of the Supreme Personality of God. And shrinanti gayanti grinanti sadhavaha. Sadhavaha, the sadhus, the devotees of the Lord, they always like to hear this glorification of the Lord. And they sing the glorification of the Lord. First shrinanti, then gayanti. Shravanam, kirtan. And grinanti, take the holy name of the Lord. Chant the holy name of the Lord. So this is the simple process. And this Shravanam and Kirtanam is the beginning, hearing and chanting. Then as a result of this hearing and chanting, there will be remembering. Smaranam. Then when you remember the Lord, then you'll gradually become engaged in serving His lotus feet. Smaranam, Padasevanam. Archanam, worshipping Him. Vandanam, singing His glory through the selected verses. And Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Become a servant of the Lord. You develop your friendship with the Lord and you surrender yourself to the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the goal of life. So that is what everybody should understand. That is what everybody must learn. And that's why the sadhus, the saintly personalities, must broadcast the glory of the Supreme Personality. So this is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this way we can see that this is a pastime. Who is Vasudev? Vasudev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. So where is the question of Vasudev being bewildered? Just Arjun. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. Where is the question of Arjun becoming bewildered? He is so pure that he is always associating with the Lord. So where is the question of Arjun's bewilderment? But in order to give Bhagavad Gita, Krishna made that situation. That Arjun is bewildered. Now Arjun is saying, I do not know what I should do. That Pichhami Tvang Dharma Sammura Cheta. I I'm asking you because I don't know what to do about dharma. I don't know about dharma. What is the real dharma? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna is telling that to Krishna. That Krishna, I'm completely bewildered. And then Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita. Shishyasteham sadhimantam prapanna. I'm surrendering myself to you as your sishya, as your disciple. Krishna is actually Arjuna's cousin. Is it easy to accept your cousin as your guru? Very difficult. Especially when your cousin is your friend. That's what Krishna actually told Arjuna. Arjuna actually told Krishna. That Krishna, you said that you gave the knowledge to Vivashvan. Imam Vivashate Yogam Pratavana Homavaya. When Krishna told him, Arjuna said, Are Aparayam Bhavato Janma Patam Janma Vivashata. You were born just the other day, Vivashan was born so many millions of years ago. Katham Etat Vijaniyam Tamado Pratavani. How can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivashan? So we can see Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is like a cousin brother, and of the same age. Therefore, they are intimate friends. But here, becoming completely bewildered, Arjuna is telling Krishna that I am accepting you as my spiritual master. Please guide me. Accept me as your disciple and guide me in the spiritual life. So that is one has to do. Like one must surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Arjuna is very fortunate that he had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a spiritual master. But we do not have that good fortune. But there is nothing to worry about. Krishna sends his representative. He may not come, but he sends his representative. Therefore, gurus are always available. We have to find the guru. We have to see who is a real guru. But the thing is, here is a problem. If we are materially motivated, then we will find the materialistic guru. But only when we become spiritually inclined, spiritually interested, we'll get a bona fide. Therefore, it is saying, Guru Krishna Prasadeva. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets a guru, a qualified guru, bona fide guru. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bhi. And by the mercy of the guru, one receives this Bhakti Lata. And this Bhakti Lata Bhi is there in Krishna's instruction. Krishna's instructions are the source of Bhakti Lata. The Vedas are words of Krishna. But from the Vedas, we have to find the essence of the Vedas. And that's why Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita. Although he gave the Vedas and so in the Vedas, the secret of pure devotional service has been kept. But here, we are seeing the process. The essence have to be found. And Krishna very mercifully gave the essence through Bhagavad Gita. And now we are finding another essence that he is giving through Vyasadeva. So here we can see it was actually Krishna's arrangement that it seems that Vyasadeva became bewildered. Vyasadeva became despondent. Vyasadeva felt discontent. That, well, my work hasn't been completed. But actually, what was the purpose of Krishna? To point out that bhakti is the highest thing in the Vedas. Vyasadeva has done everything that could be presented through the Vedas. Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into four branches, Rig, Sham, Atharva, Yaju, and Atharva. Rig, Sham, Yaju, Atharva. And then he gave the Upanishad, the Puran, Dharma Shastra, Samhitas. He gave everything that could be presented through the Vedas. Then he gave Mahabharata. the Mahabharata is meant for less intelligent people. The advanced people with advanced intelligence can understand philosophy and all that. But the less intelligent people do not have the ability to understand philosophy. Therefore, he presented the philosophy through Mahabharata, which is the itihash, history. But what Mahabharata is doing, that's what he pointed out. Mahabharata is simply dealing with karmakanda. Mahabharata is not even going to Gyanakanda. Mahabharata is all karma-based. Therefore, Vyasadeva is not satisfied. But he had to be present. But the thing is, although Mahabharata is dealing with karma yoga, but within Mahabharata, what do we find? Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is giving the direction of devotion. How? After explaining everything in Bhagavad Gita, what is the final instruction that Krishna gives? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam bhaj. That is the ultimate point. So here we can see, although Mahabharata has been presented in the form of stories of the activities of great kings, especially Pandavas and Krishna. Even Krishna is present in Mahabharata. But do we recognize so much that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yes, we do. But what should we do with Krishna? What should we do with Krishna? What should be our attitude towards Krishna? That has been presented in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam. And where Bhagavad Gita ends, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Dharma prajjita kaitava atra parama nirmat saranam sarva. So Bhagavad Gita says at the end, surrender to Krishna, giving up all your material attachments, giving up all your mundane, senseless activities. And where does Bhagavatam beginning? When by giving up all these material attachments, one's heart becomes completely purified, free from all the contaminations of lust, greed, anger, kaam, krodh, lobh, etc. Nirmatsaranam. When the heart becomes nirmatsar, becomes free from all these impurities, then one becomes qualified to understand Vedam. Vedam means to understand. Vastavam atra vastu shivadam saputrayana. Then he becomes qualified to understand Krishna consciousness. So this is how we can see where Bhagavad Gita ends, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. So in order to give Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna actually made this arrangement through Vyasadeva. After compiling all these Vedas into different branches and sub-branches, and then finally giving the essence of the Vedas in the form of Vedanta Sutra. That is the most concise and precise philosophical understanding of the Vedas. Then Krishna made the arrangement, Bhagavatam should be given. So what does it mean? It means that after Vedanta comes Srimad Bhagavatam. Veda anta, Vedasya anta, end of the Vedas, end of Vedic wisdom. Beyond that end of Vedic wisdom is Srimad Bhagavatam. So to make that point, Krishna made this arrangement through Vyasadeva, so that people can understand that the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And this, Narad Muni then pointed out that through this knowledge, of, through this knowledge of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His instruction. When we act on that platform, then we can actually meet the Supreme Personality. So the way to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to follow the process of devotion. And then he described, what is Bhakti Yoga? Bhakti Yoga is the means by which the spirit soul becomes connected to the Supreme Person. And Narada Muni, in this way, instructed Vasudeva to spread that message that the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave in this way. This message should be broadcasted to the people so that they can become free from their suffering condition. So, an intelligent person understands that he is suffering in this material nature, and devotional service is the way to free him from his suffering condition. So this is how, very wonderfully, Krishna arranged for Narada Muni to come and instruct Vasudev. And according to Narada Muni's instruction, Vasudev was inspired to present the pure glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we can understand what is the ultimate goal of our life. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
If anyone has any questions, please dial *6 and you'll be placed into the queue, and we'll take questions one at a time. So it's *6.
I got one question from Mayapur TV, Atma.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Let me see, Guru Maharaj. Please tell me, what is the difference between Kirtanam and Bandhanam? Okay. Bandhanam is more like doing it for the sake of pleasing the Lord by chanting the selected verses. And Kirtanam is a spontaneous glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you sing the glory of the Lord, that is Kirtana. But when you recite the verses for the pleasure of the Lord, that is Bandhana. Yes, Atma, any question from your side?
We have two questions so far, Guru Maharaj. I'll just take the first one.
Go ahead.
Maharaj, I am Vishnu Yagya Das from Jaipur. My humble obeisances to you, Maharaj. Maharaj, very nice lecture, very inspiring lecture to follow the process of devotional service. But Maharaj, my question is that sometimes, while preaching, we come across the devotees who are practicing all the activities of devotional service, but in their attitude, they are quite competitive and sometimes, envious by nature. So, is it important to practice devotional service that first we should develop the qualities of mode of goodness and then gradually make a transition to Shuddh Bhakti?
Okay. Very good point. Yeah, and you answered the question actually yourself, that you see, this competitive mood, how does it come? It comes from the mode of passion, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
So the passion will lead to this competitive mood. But the thing is, the devotional service can be rendered on the mode of goodness. So eventually all of us have to come to the mode of goodness. And then all these materialistic tendencies will disappear. But when you see that somebody is developing this kind of competitive mood and so forth, due to the mode of passion, just tolerate, with the understanding that In course of time, by practicing devotional service, they will transcend the mode of passion and ignorance and come to the platform of goodness. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. We have 3 more questions, Guru Maharaj, from the teleconference.
Yeah, sure. Hare
Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances to your lotus feet.
Today
I'm very fortunate. This is Nanda Dulal, as if I'm sitting at your lotus feet, Maharaj, because I can see the TV and also I can listen.
So you're watching the Mayapur TV.
Yeah, both at the same time. That was nice. Guru Maharaj, my question. Yes, even telephone also very clear, but Mayapur TV is much more.
No, what I mean is, I'm giving the class with a telephone in my hand.
Yes, I can see.
It's a good publicity for iPhone.
Thank you, Maharaj. You know, I know that I don't have any qualification for, you know, getting your mercy, but you know, you carry Lord in your heart, you know, and whatever you speak, you know, it touches. Question is, Trinath Pishunichana Tororupi Shoishnanam Amanina Manadana Kittaniya Shadahvi. How to do this being a Grihastha and in a living in a mundane place? How to, you know, bring those mood in a Trinath Pishunichana?
Yeah. Well, you see, this mood of Trinath Pishunichana will develop as we become aware of Krishna's greatness and Krishna's devotees' greatness. Because, you see, it is ultimately a question of relativity. Like, when do I feel myself small? When I am standing in front of someone big. Isn't
yes.
it? In this respect, there is, sometimes I give an example of an incident, of an anecdote. You see, Akbar had had a minister called Birbal, who was very intelligent. And Akbar used to have a very special relationship with Birbal. And as a result of that, the other ministers became envious. The other ministers were... And Akbar got to know that the other ministers are envious of Birbal. So in order to prove to them about Birbal's special qualities, one day when Akbar came to the assembly, he drew a line on the floor with a chalk. And he asked, can anyone make this line smaller without rubbing it off? And everyone thought, how is it possible? So when everyone failed, then Akbar asked Birbal, Birbal, can you make this line smaller? Then Birbal said, yeah, no problem. So he picked up the chalk and he drew a line next to it which was larger, longer than that. He said, now your line is smaller. So we recognize our humble position only when we are in contact with someone who is greater than us. And now tell me, who is the greatest? Krishna is the greatest. So the more we become aware of Krishna's greatness, we begin to see our insignificant position. So the way to become really humble is by becoming Krishna conscious. When you become Krishna's greatness, then we automatically feel humble. It is not an artificial thing to practice. Oh, from today I will become humble. No matter whatever somebody says, I will not say anything in response. Even if somebody insults me, I will tolerate. But then I tolerate, and one day it reaches the optimum point and I explode. So that is not the real way to become humble. To become humble is that we recognize our minuteness in relation to Krishna's greatness. And when you develop this humble attitude, then automatically we will become tolerant. When you see how Krishna is taking care of us, then why should we worry about anything? We know that Krishna is taking care of us. So we'll tolerate any difficulties and distresses.
Thank you.
Does it answer your question?
Exactly, Gumaraj. You know, that was, I also had that misconception that, you know, but you actually, you know, cleared it, you know, completely. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Yeah. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Janvad, this is Ajay Govind from New Jersey.
Hare Bol.
Thank you Guru Maharaj, for a wonderful lecture. Guru Maharaj, we were talking about that, you know, Sharanam Kirtan is the first step of bhakti, and, you know, one can get Krishna when one is aligned to a spiritual master. But, you know, how will we can induce the inclination in a person so that, you know, the person is willing to hear about Krishna, so that, you know, he's connected to the first step? Because once he connected, you know, the path is moving, but, you know, that first step, that's getting connected to, you know, or
yeah,
having the desire,
okay, good,
to hear, how do we induce that?
Yeah. So, when you come, when you're preaching, when you're coming across somebody, some fortunate soul, you recognize that he is very fortunate that he came in contact with you. And you are giving him an opportunity to get the real knowledge. So present Krishna, present Prabhupada to him. Just tell him that here is what Srila Prabhupada has done. And by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, how your life has changed. In this way, you generate the interest in him. Your sincere desire to give Krishna to him will create his good fortune. You begin with the point that it is his good fortune that he has come in contact with you, and in this way, you can give him Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. Then give Prabhupada's books, teach about Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and in this way, you create his good fortune. Okay.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances under your lotus feet. This is Shyamal Krishna speaking from Bangalore. Guru Maharaj, my question is, like you mentioned that Vyasadev himself wasn't satisfied by writing all the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads. So how are we to understand the exact position of all these scriptures? Should we just ignore them because they are anyway not going to give us the satisfaction and happiness to our soul and our heart? Or what should we do with them? Or why Vyasadeva, you know, wrote them, and then Krishna made that arrangement to write Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate thing which will give Krishna bhakti?
Right. Well, it will depend on how much time you have, right?
Okay.
Like if you have a lot of time to read, then yes, you can get into all that. But the main thing is that in this age, since you don't have much time, especially now that you are studying in IIT. Oh, now you are working. Yeah, you finished.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So now that you are working, you have even less time to study. So first consideration is to utilize your time by reading Prabhupada's books.
Okay.
Because everything is there.
Yes,
now Prabhupada has actually summarized everything and presented it. First you must read Prabhupada's books.
Okay,
Shyamal Krishna.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Aditya Narayan Das. Please, my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Aditya Narayan. Hare Krishna.
So, Guru Maharaj, like in the fourth verse of this chapter, of the fifth chapter, there's a verse where Narad Muni is telling Vyasadev that you have fully delineated the subject matter of impersonal Brahman. And the purport, Prabhupada is saying that in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature is there. So, like, we see like how Prabhupada was so strong smashing all the impersonal concept. And like people actually use this Vedas to say that, oh, the impersonal feature is the absolute. So how do we actually address them? Because it is there in the Vedas. And
way to address them is that you have to have a teacher. You have to have a bona fide spiritual master to understand the real purport. Yes, apparently it's dealing with impersonal Brahman, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is it the ultimate consideration or is it the apparent consideration? Apparently, yeah, it is talking about impersonal. Like Upanishads are actually sounding like impersonal. But when a bona fide spiritual master comes, then what does he say? Okay, you're talking about Brahman, but let us see, what is Brahman? What is Brahman? The light, spiritual light, right? Now, because it leads to the other point, then where does that light come from?
Yes.
Isn't it? Can the light exist by itself?
Mm-hmm.
So where does the light come from? So the light is coming from Krishna. Therefore, his bodily effulgence is light, but Krishna himself is Param Brahma.
Right.
Brahman is the bodily effulgence, but Krishna himself is the supreme Brahman, or the source of the Brahman. Brahmanohi pratishthaham. The Brahman effulgence's pratishtha, source, is actually Krishna. But for that, you need a bona fide spiritual master who comes and tells you. Right? That's the point again, you know, like in this chapter, that's the point that has been dealt with in this chapter. That even Vasudev had to get the mercy of a spiritual master, Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, through his story, pointed out, although born as a Shudra, he received the good fortune by coming across this Bhakti Vedantas and receiving their mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, he became the pure devotee.
Yes. Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Does it answer your question, Aditya Narayan?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, it's very clear. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So the point is, you need a bona fide spiritual master. Is the books enough? Like when you went to the university, if you just bought the books from the market and studied, could you get the degree?
No.
Or when you are teaching in the university, right?
Yeah.
Like, is the books enough? Or you have to explain it to the students?
Yes, Guru.
Right? That's why you are there. The teacher, the students need a teacher to understand what is in the books.
Yes, Guru. It's very clear now. Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, we've just passed 1 hour, but there's one more question. Would you like to take it?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I mean, we can go on a little longer because there are some questions here also from Mayapur TV.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dhanut Pranam. This is Srinivas from Richmond, Virginia, Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks for everything for us. You know, we visited Mayapur and everything for such a great, inspiring trip, Maharaj.
Okay.
I have a question, Maharaj, on about the reality. This is my realization and a bit wants to know a bit more. When I was in Mayapur in the temple, I was at a moment I felt that let this, the time freeze. Like, you know, I felt such a great, it should not slip away. You know, I felt so great and kind of. And it came like a glimpse of a second, like, you know, it's come so quickly and I cannot keep it. Like, you know, I want, but I cannot keep it. Again, when we walk out of the temple, we come into this world. Like, how do we... Or is this is the ultimate thing, you know, having this joy and enjoyment or happiness, ultimate happiness, is that is what we are seeking for? Or is there any connection, like how do we keep that one for a longer period? You know, how
by the practice, you know, like, you see, that is what happens, how practice leads to perfection, right? Say, for example, when you're riding a bicycle, right? You're trying to learn to ride a bicycle. When you're learning, you're falling. But then all of a sudden, for a split second, you feel that you got the balance. But then again, you lose it. Right? And you fall. Right? But this momentary failing of the getting the balance actually gives you an idea what this balancing is going to lead you to. And then gradually, you get the balance, and then you just jump into the bicycle and automatically start to ride it. So similarly, you know, these glimpses are giving you a taste of or understanding of what it is actually like, what it is like to become situated in the spiritual platform. Momentarily, you are experiencing it, and from that, you see how wonderful it is. So can you imagine what it will be like to be in that situation constantly? So that's what we have to aspire for. We are practicing to achieve perfection. All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Does it answer your question?
Yeah. You know, it's confirmed a little bit more.
Now at least
you
know what it is like. At least you got a glimpse of what it is like.
That is true, Maharaj. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Atma, is there any other question there?
Currently, there's no other questions in the conference queue, Maharaj. So if you'd like to take questions there, then please go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there is one question from Ramananda Kanai Das. It came from the Mayapur TV. Hare Krishna Maharaj, in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada tells, bathing in Radha Kund is very much required for all to get Krishna prem. But why in ISKCON we are not bathing in Radha Kund? Your servant, Ramananda Kanai Das. Okay, very good. So, you see, Prabhupada told the devotees not to bathe in Radha Kund at that time because that he saw that the devotees did not have the right kind of consciousness. They were jumping into Radha Kund and playing as if they are in a swimming pool. So that's what Prabhupada discouraged. That no, you come to Radha Kund with the understanding that this kund is actually the liquid form of Radharani's love for Krishna. So when you are going into that, you must develop that reverential attitude. So when one develops that reverential attitude, then there is no harm in bathing in Radha Kund. Or when you go to Vrindavan and want to bathe in Radha Kund, do it with this understanding. Prabhupada will be pleased with you. Yes, bathe in Radha Kund, but with right consciousness. Yeah, Krishna Chan, what was your question?
So you explained how Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who are surrendered already. I mean, it is Paramahamsa Samhita. But we also see in the Bhagavatam also that there are descriptions condemning material consciousness, like the story of Varurava and many others, such as Jayati and many others, where even those who have conditioned in nature, by reading that, they can actually get purified. So even before that stage, Bhagavatam is useful. Is it so? And also, what is the role of reading Mahabharata?
Okay. The thing is that, you see, Mahabharata was given in Dwapar Yuga. Or just as Dwapar Yuga ended. Like the feeling of Vyasadeva was something like, you know, I mean, he was thinking of the people with the qualities like Dwapar Yuga. But after Narad Muni, he realized after meeting with Narad Muni or being instructed by Narad Muni that for the age of Kali we need to present this knowledge about the Supreme Personality of God in a special way. And the special presentation is Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Srimad Bhagavatam there are stories, because Puran actually gives the understanding through some anecdotes, through some happening. That's the Vedic way of giving. Some, like the story of Puranjana. Right. Or the way Jarabharat described about to Rahugana, about the forest of material existence. The philosophy is being given, but philosophy is being given through a story. Right. So here is the happenings. You know, Puran is narrating the happenings. Yes, just story of Pudarava, the story of Jajati. But through the story, what do we come to know? We get to know, first thing, the futility of material enjoyment and the purpose of spiritual life. Right? So that's why, yes, although one may not be completely pure, but Bhagavatam will be helpful. Because that will purify him further. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Oh, there is a Hindi question. Let me see. Oh, nahi, kafi deri ho gaye. Aaj chhod do. Kis tarah hum bhautik chintan se mukt hokar hamare man ko Shri Krishna ke chintan mein laga sakte hain? Aaj sare class mein kya discuss kiya? Ye prashna kiska hai? Saurabh Gelot. Saurabh Gelot. What did you hear in the class? Okay. So hearing about the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will help us to become free from material contamination and become situated in spiritual life. Another thing Narad Muni mentioned, that's getting the remnants of the exalted devotee. Okay. Acha, kya prashna hai? क्या बात है पंचम वेद चार वेद में उसका विभाग हुआ और उसके बाद जो वेद आया मतलब वेद का जो ज्ञान इसके माध्यम हो रहा है इसलिए इसको पंचम वेद कहा गया है बाकी जो कुछ है सभी पंचम वेद के अंतर्गत है वेद की शिक्षा आयुर्वेद धनुर्वेद महाभारत सब उस पंचम वेद में आ गए हरे कृष्ण हरे बोल आत्मा सो दिस इज व्हेन यू आर एंडिंग हरे
कृष्ण यस गुरु महाराज
या सो द ब्रॉडकास्ट वाज ऑल राइट
यस एवरीथिंग वाज फाइन गुरु महाराज एंड
और रादर टेलीकास्ट वाज ऑल राइट बिकॉज डिड यू वॉच द ब्रॉडकास्ट और टेलीकास्ट
आई यस आई वॉच्ड ऑन माय पुट टीवी एज वेल
No, you watch the Mayapur TV as well. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Guru Maharaj,
Saturday, let me see. Next Saturday, I'll be in South Africa. What is the day?
Next Saturday is the 15th, Guru Maharaj.
Next Saturday is 15th. The date is 15th. So, 15th, I'll be giving a seminar there. So it will be 2:00, 2 to 3. Let me see. I will let you know whether I'll be able to get that time, because I don't know the timing of the seminar.
Sure. Okay,
Atma. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Guruji. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, dear participants, just a quick set of announcements for you. Thank you for listening in to Guru Maharaj. And as you heard, the next teleconference may be on the 15th. Otherwise, it should be on the 22nd. Please look out on BCS Istogosti to see for announcements about when we'll schedule the next call. And if you have any questions or concerns or suggestions, please send me an email to info@vpnglobal.org. And please also look out on Guru Maharaj's Facebook page for announcements there. That's Bhakti Charu Swami, if you do a search for that on Facebook. And this recording will also be posted. The recording of this class today will be posted shortly on the same Google Drive folder that all the previous classes are on. So you can download it from there. You can find that link on the Facebook event page. Okay, so I'll end the call now. Thank you very much, everyone. Hare Krishna.